My name is David Watkins. I'm a product manager in the ArcGIS for Desktop team. In particular, I'm the product manager for ArcGIS Pro. I am here with two of our lead instructors who teach all of our ArcGIS Pro classes, Robert LeClaire, David Reeves. And we're going to be going over an introduction to ArcGIS Pro. We're going to spend a lot of time on demos in this session. So there's a few slides. I'll go through a few slides, and we'll try to spend the majority of the time on demos. The other thing is I've got a whole series at the end of this of commonly asked questions. We've been doing this workshop for a long time now. Seems like it, a couple years. And we get the same questions kind of over and over again. So I've tried to just consolidate all those into some slides at the end. So I'd ask that you just kind of hold off your questions till we get to the end. And once we've gone through those commonly asked questions, we'll make sure we leave some time for you to be able to ask some more. But we may have already got an answer to your question. We'll see. All right. ArcGIS Pro is, of course, an application within the ArcGIS Desktop product. So ArcGIS Desktop is a combination of ArcMap, which of course includes ArcCatalog. You've got ArcScene and ArcGlobe and all the extensions with things like 3D Analyst and Spatial Analyst and all of the different kinds of extensions. You've also get ArcGIS Pro. ArcGIS Pro has its own versions of those extensions as well. And one thing I always like to point out is with every desktop license, you also get a named user to either ArcGIS Online or to a portal. So every desktop user is actually an ArcGIS platform user. You've got access to everything. So it's the professional ArcGIS, or the professional GIS user. Those are our users using desktop. So how many of you have used ArcGIS Pro yet or gone in and played with it? Okay, a smattering here and there. Not all of you, so that's good. You're in the introduction workshop, and we're going to try to give you a really good kind of overview of the whole application. I suspect the rest of you all, or the rest of you, all of you really use ArcMap, yeah? Everybody uses ArcMap here? So a lot of our introductory courses and a lot of the things we reference as we go through here will be in relationship to ArcMap. We just kind of naturally end up with comparisons between the two. So we usually make the assumption that you already understand all the GIS concepts and everything like that, and how everything works in ArcMap, and we'll try to make the transition for you to ArcGIS Pro. So what is ArcGIS Pro? Well, it's a new application. Actually, it's not very new anymore. We've been saying it's new for a while. We released it originally in January 2015, so about a year and a half ago. Since then, we've had a 1.0 release. We've released a 1.1 release and a 1.2 release, so we've got three releases out there. And 1.3 is coming out sometime next week is our plan. We're really, the development team's been pushing to try to get it out for you guys. So you should have it, hopefully, when you get home. It's a brand new architecture under the hood. It's a 64-bit application. It's a truly multi-threaded application. So when you use ArcGIS Pro, it's going to use all the cores of that nice hardware that you have, that computer sitting on your desk. So it'll use all the resources of your computer. It makes it fast. It makes it always up and running. You don't have things hang while you're running one process and you can't do anything else. You're always able to keep working. We've done some other things with it. We've simplified the user interface. We've got a contextual ribbon-based user interface. It's going to be very similar to all the other Microsoft products you use. So if you're using Office, it's going to be very similar to Office. We've integrated it very tightly with ArcGIS Online or Portal for ArcGIS. So when we first built ArcMap, there was no such thing as the cloud. I mean, the cloud was a concept that came later. And so ArcMap was never really integrated as tightly with ArcGIS Online as it could have been. It just goes back to the basic architecture we started with. Well, with Pro, we started with an architecture where we looked at integrating it much more closely with the entire platform right off the bat. So it's very closely tied in it. You find that where you go to search for things, you can be searching for things in your portals and online at the same time and just dragging data in and dropping it from all over the place. So it's really kind of tightly coupled with ArcGIS Online. We've combined 2D and 3D. So the application has both 2D and 3D maps and scenes. We'll call 3D, all our 3D maps we call scenes. Scenes can either be global or local. For those of you who've used ArcScene or ArcGlobe, that's the difference between a scene and a globe. We just call them all scenes now. It's a project-based application. So all of you who are familiar with the old ArcView 3.3 or 3.4 or one of the old ArcView projects will recognize this concept of a project where you can have multiple maps and multiple layouts. We've taken all those concepts and built them into Pro. It's also a very modern application. You'll find things like simple search and query throughout the entire application. So anywhere you would expect to have to look through a list of items or look through a list of layers, you're going to find a search box. So if you need to find something in your table of contents, I know a lot of you sometimes get a ton of stuff in there, you know, 200 layers, you can just search your table of contents. You can search for symbols. You can search for, of course, data, both on your local drives and in the cloud. So search is everywhere. So when we think about Pro, we like to describe it as kind of a fusion of multiple applications. So we've tried to take the best of ArcMap and ArcCatalog, ArcGlobe and ArcScene, the 3D aspects of that, and actually a bunch of the symbology from CityEngine and the rule packages that you can generate in CityEngine, and we've merged them all together into a single application. It's one professional GIS application that does all of it. And we think this is a great way to kind of merge all of that together. So when you start playing with Pro, those of you who haven't touched it yet, you're going to find some things that are really nice about it. First of all, there's a contextual ribbon-based interface. I mentioned this. But the other nice thing is it's going to be pretty intuitive for all of you who've used ArcMap. You've got a table of contents, same way you have in ArcMap. You've got layers. You've got the symbology. You've got access to all the different kinds of things you do in ArcMap, you know, add data, navigation. It's different. I mean, it's a brand new. We've done a lot to try to streamline the workflows with it, but it will still be familiar if you've used ArcMap. The concepts are the same. The concepts are all there. Like I said before, it's project-based. So those of you who've used the catalog window, we have a window in Pro called the project window, and it has a lot of the same functionality that you have in the catalog window. You have access to all of your maps and layouts, for example, but you also have your database connections, your folder connections, access to your styles. All of that is accessible through the project pane. There's also a project view that allows you to go in and do things like build a new geodatabase, you know, design one, add your domains, all of the kind of stuff you normally do in catalog. And it's map focused. And what do we mean by that? Well, we've done a lot to try to bring the map to the center of what you're working with. That's what you guys work with all the time. You work with maps. And we've intentionally done things like subdued all of the menus. If you notice all the colors of the buttons and the interface, they're not really bright. We've done that on purpose. We've tried to make them a little pale. Sometimes that doesn't demo the greatest, but it's much better when you're working with it. The other thing we've done is when you start working with Pro, you're going to find that most things come up in panes. We call them panes. They're the menus that fall off to the side of the map. We don't have menus very often that pop up in the middle of your map and block what you're looking at. So when you're running a geoprocessing tool, for example, you're going to be running it off to the side in a pane. It's not going to pop up in front of your map and block everything you're looking at. So we've really tried to make the map the center of attention in ArcGIS Pro. So we've We're going to just kick it us off, and I'm going to have David Reeves give you a demo of just an overview of the whole application.
Thank you. Howdy. Morning. I'm Dave Reeves. I'm an instructor in our San Antonio office. I teach a number of desktop classes, but our class about ArcGIS Pro is by far my favorite. So ArcMap is a document-based experience where you work with map documents. In ArcGIS Pro, it's a project-based experience where you work with projects. Now, when you open up ArcGIS Pro, it's going to prompt you to create a new project. Here you can name your project, choose the location to store it, and when you do that, a number of things happen. I have a project here called Northridge. And when I created that project, it created for me what we call a project home folder here. Now, this home folder is where everything about your project gets stored. If you look inside of here, there are already a few things that get created for you automatically. So it creates for you a geodatabase, and it makes it the default geodatabase. It creates for you a project file ending in .aprx. This is the file that you would double-click on, and it would open up Pro and open up your project. Then lastly, it creates for you a toolbox, and it makes it your default toolbox in ArcGIS Pro. So your models and your Python scripts can be stored there. Now, this project home folder is where your analysis output gets stored, your layouts, your folder connections, server connections, everything organized in one place. Now, back over in ArcGIS Pro, it looks pretty familiar. On the left, we have our contents pane, very similar to the table of contents in ArcMap. We've got our map in the center, and then on the right is our project pane, very similar to the catalog window in ArcMap. And this project pane is where you can access everything related to your project. Here I see I have access to multiple maps. These are synonymous with data frames in ArcMap. Here are my toolboxes and my models, connections to various databases inside and outside of my project home folder. My geoprocessing history is here now. It's no longer in a separate results window. It's right here in my project pane. Here are my multiple layouts and then also various folder connections. Then at the top is our ribbon, our context-sensitive ribbon. And we've really tried to put all the tools you need right in front of you so you don't have to go and add toolbars, look in context menus. We really try to put all the tools you need right in front of you. And it's context-sensitive. So if I click on these earthquake data, these are some points. When I select earthquakes, I get these additional contextual tabs up top. Let me show that again. Right when I click on it, those contextual tabs appear. I can go to appearance and have easy access to setting scale ranges, transparency, the swipe tool, symbology, even labeling options. And like I said, it's context sensitive. So here, while I have some point vector data, I see point symbology options. If I go and select my polygons, well, now I have polygon symbology options. In ArcMap, if you were trying to change your symbology, you know, the layer properties dialog box opens and you're locked to that dialog box. You can't do anything else in ArcMap until you've hit OK and that layer properties box is gone. On ArcGIS Pro, I could right-click on this polygon and choose a different color. But if I left-click on it, it opens up for me the symbology pane over on the side. So I have access to a gallery of kind of predefined symbols. I can also go to properties and further customize the outline of the outline width. Meanwhile, I can still interact with my map while having this project pane open here. The symbology pane open on the side. We're really trying to put all the tools you need right in front of you. I have some elevation data also, some raster data. If I select that, my contextual tabs change here at the top. Now I have raster symbology options. Do I want discrete, stretched, classified? Making it a lot easier on you to interact with the software through the context sensitivity of it. Now on this map tab, the very first tab you land on, we've tried to put the most commonly used functionality here for you. So you can see on the left, we've got, you know, your clipboard, you know, cut, copy, and paste. Our navigation tools here. Now, I'm really excited about this Explore tool. If you hover over it, you can see some keyboard shortcuts. But what we've done with this Explore tool is combine three tools into one. We've combined the Zoom tools, the Pan, and Identify into one tool. So you don't have to keep going back to the Tools toolbar in ArcMap and switching between tools. So with it selected, and I can tell it's selected because it's highlighted in blue, I can still use my mouse wheel to zoom in and zoom out. I can hold down Shift and draw a box around the area I want to zoom into, but I can click and drag to pan around my map. Or I can simply click once to identify a feature and bring up the Identify window here. We've also grouped together all of your selection methods. So we have your interactive selection, followed by select by attribute and select by location. And then easy access to base maps and adding layers into your map. That's all I want to show you for now, so I'm going to turn it back over to David to talk about analysis.
All right, thanks, David. So ArcGIS Pro, we've truly tried to design it with usability in mind, and you'll find that this whole ribbon-based experience is going to be new to you, and one of the things that we run into with everyone who first starts using it is they're trying to find the tools that they want. You know, they're trying to find the tool that they're familiar with, and they don't have a way to bring up every single menu at once, so some of this stuff is kind of hidden. It takes a little bit of time to get used to that, but once you're used to it, we find nobody wants to go back to trying to find every toolbar. So it's actually been a really great experience for everyone who's used it that I know. So what are the things you can do with Pro? Well, of course, you can do analysis with Pro. You can edit your data with Pro. You can make great maps and visualizations. And you can share throughout the whole platform, throughout the whole application. You can share all the aspects of what you're building in your projects. So we're going to start by talking about analysis a bit. So this is geoprocessing, right? The majority of the geoprocessing tools from ArcMap are in ArcGIS Pro already. By majority, I mean 99% of them. They are already there. There are some that are missing. There are some that are missing on purpose. ArcGIS Pro does not support coverages. Does that make anyone feel bad here? Yeah, see, I've had one person in the last session too. No support for coverages. I'm sorry. Anyway, so there are tools. There are geoprocessing tools that work with coverages. Those are not coming over. There's some others that we're still working on. Representations are changing slightly in Pro, and so some of the representation management tools aren't coming over. But for the most part, all the geoprocessing tools are in there. We end up working in a geoprocessing pane, a pane off to the side, rather than working with menus that pop up in front of you. One of the nice things about this pane experience is it allows you to iteratively run through your GP tools and just go from tool to tool to tool without having to stop in between and bring up another menu and fill it in. So the results just kind of directly go into the next tool. It makes it a nice experience. Model Builder is there with all of the Model Builder building functionality. Python is there for all of you who work with Python. All of the different kind of analysis tools are there, the extensions, network analyst, spatial analyst, geostats, all of those are available in Pro right now. There's also a wealth of image processing functionality in Pro, and we've really been building the remote sensing aspects of GIS into Pro. So Peter Becker did a plenary demo talked about remote sensing, but there's all sorts of great image classification tools. We've got tools for doing segmentation and training your data sets and doing all the kinds of things you would do with remote sensing. So it's becoming a very powerful raster analysis tool, or it is a very powerful raster analysis tool. So I'm going to turn it over to David again and have him give a demo of some of the analysis capabilities.
Thank you. All analysis in ArcGIS Pro is 64-bit. whether you're running geoprocessing tools or model builder or your Python.
Yeah, they can't hear you.
All right. So, whether you're running your geoprocessing tools.
Is that any better? No? Do you want to try?
Let's try a different microphone.
We're going to try this. We've run into this in every session. We have one mic that's not as loud as the other. I don't know what it is.
How about that? Better? Good. Like I was saying, all geoprocessing in ArcGIS Pro is 64-bit. Whether you're running your geoprocessing tools, your Python scripts, or your models you've made in Model Builder, they're going to hold, since it is 64-bit, it can hold much more data in memory when you're running those tools. So on the Analysis tab is where you can access your Model Builder, the Python window, and your geoprocessing tools. While we're looking at this, if I click on History, it takes me directly to my project pane where I can see my geoprocessing history. I can click on Python to open up the Python window, or I can easily begin creating a model by clicking on Model Builder. Now, I mentioned earlier that when you create a project, it creates a toolbox for you and makes it your default toolbox. So when I clicked on Model Builder, it created an empty model for me and placed it right here in my default toolbox. One of the things I love about ArcGIS Pro is the ability to view these things side by side. So you've noticed I have different tabs up here, viewing my maps and my models all together. So I can view my models and my maps side by side here, which I love getting to do. And with your model selected. It's context sensitive. So with my model selected, I get my Model Builder tabs up on the ribbon, allowing me to save, interact with my model, work with the layout, validate it, set iterators, work with conditional logic also. Now, back on the Analysis tab here, you also have access to your environment settings, you know, for the entire application. When I click on Environments, it brings them up for me. And one I want to point out, if I scroll near the very bottom, is parallel processing here. Parallel processing is used by the Geostatistical Analyst extension and allows you to take advantage of the multiple cores in your computer. So if you have a dual-core computer or a quad-core computer, when you're running a tool or running a model, you can tell ArcGIS Pro to use multiple cores of your computer rather than a single core. So if you have you can take a big task or a big tool or a big model and split it up between the four cores of your computer. So if let's say I have four cores on my computer and I enter a value of 50%. That's telling ArcGIS Pro that it's allowed to use 50% of the cores of my computer. So it'll take that big job and break it down into two smaller ones for some faster processing. When I click on Tools, it brings up the geoprocessing pane. And I love a lot of new things about the geoprocessing pane. First of all, it's combined ArcToolbox with the search functionality into one. So I can easily start searching for tools. Let's say I look for the feature class tool. Before I'm even done typing, it's giving me results. In ArcMap, you have to type the complete word and then hit enter, and then we show you some results. This is much faster now. And with these geoprocessing results, I can click on it, and it opens up that tool in the geoprocessing pane for me, not in a dialog box sitting in the middle of the screen blocking everything else. Next to the Tools button in the Analysis ribbon, we call this our Analysis Gallery. These are the tools that you're going to use the most often, and it's customizable. We've already put a few tools in there for you, but you can change what's in there, and it's project-specific. For example, let's say this feature class tool. I know I'm going to use that a lot, so I'm going to right-click on it and choose to Add to Analysis Gallery. And now I know I can scroll to the very bottom, and it should be right there for me, feature class to feature class. I can customize this. I can reorder these, move them up or down, and remove them even. Let's move this one to the very top. Let's see. There it is. And so now I have quick access to these tools without having to go and search for them in my geoprocessing pane. We're trying to do all these things to put the tools you need right in front of you so you don't have to go and hunt for them in the toolbox or add in toolbars like an ArcMap. But it's project specific, like I said. So if one project deals with data conversion and projections and transformations, fill the analysis gallery with those tools. If you have another project that works mostly with 3D data, fill that analysis gallery with your 3D analysis tools. Alternatively, I could right-click on a tool and choose Add to Favorites. If I do that, then it's automatically listed here when I open up the geoprocessing pane. So you don't have to go and search for them. Now, this is over the entire application, so it's going to get carried over for every single project. So you don't have to go and search for feature class to feature class every single time you'd want to use it. Now, one tool I'm excited about that I want to show you is called Analyze Tools for Pro. It's a simple tool. There's only one input and one output. If you've written any Python scripts in maybe version 2.8, or if you've built any models in ArcMap, and you're curious about their compatibility with ArcGIS Pro, that's what this tool is for. The input can be your Python script or even your model or a Python toolbox, and the output will be a text file. So if I put in a Python script, the output's going to be a text file that says, for example, on line 7, it says this, and it needs to say that. It tells you exactly where and what you need to change for it to be compatible with Python 3.4, which is what ArcGIS Pro uses. I've seen this ran a dozen or so times, and most of the changes, actually all the changes, have been able to be made in less than 5 minutes. Mostly I've noticed the need for some additional parentheses around a print statement, and then also referencing projects as opposed to MXDs like you did in ArcMap. If you built a model in ArcMap and you want to check its compatibility, place it in here, and the output text file will tell you if that tool is in this version of ArcGIS Pro or not. If I go to the geoprocessing options, I can even choose to check this box right here. It says Analyze Script and Model Tools for ArcGIS Pro Compatibility. So I can have Pro automatically check those tools, no scripts for compatibility here. Something else that I really enjoy in the geoprocessing pane is if you are going to use a tool that could potentially consume credits. Well, then you're going to notice that it has a small coin icon next to it, indicating that, you know, if you use our geocoding service, then it could consume credits from your account. After the analysis gallery, you have access to network analysis, and then lastly, raster functions. Raster functions are really neat. They're available in ArcMap, but in ArcMap, you can only use them on mosaic data sets. In ArcGIS Pro, you can use raster functions on any surface. Now, the difference between a raster function and a geoprocessing tool is the output. Geoprocessing tools always create a file for you, or almost always create a file for you. With a raster function, it creates a virtual layer stored in your map. Think about how much time you spent waiting for imagery tools to run. Most of that time is taken up because it's creating a really large file for you. But with raster functions, it creates just a virtual layer. For example, a hillshade. Your hillshade, most of the time, is just for rendering, just to kind of improve the visualization of your map. It's not actually going to be used as an input for any other geoprocessing tools. So you don't actually need that file. And since these raster functions don't create a file, they run incredibly quickly. They run in seconds. And so if you run a raster function and you decide, well, I want to change some parameters a little bit, you can easily delete that virtual layer and rerun the whole thing over again in seconds. Whereas if you ran it as a geoprocessing tool, You have to wait for it to generate that whole large file all over again, just taking up more space on your computer. Those are all the things in analysis that I'm really excited about using in ArcGIS Pro. I think now I'll hand it back over to David so he can talk to you about editing in ArcGIS Pro.
Thanks. I'll try not to trip. All right, so analysis, very powerful in Pro. The fact that it's 64-bit, we've also done a large number of improvements to the back end of geoprocessing in Pro, so I think you're going to find that geoprocessing actually runs faster in Pro than running it even using the 64-bit ArcMap version. So we're going to move on to editing a bit. So, of course, this is a 2D and a 3D application, so you can edit completely in 2D and 3D. We've done some things to simplify the editing session. So because of the contextual nature of ArcGIS Pro, we know when you're editing something because you're going to an editing tab or you're going to a create features tool. Based on that, we know when to start and stop your editing sessions. The software knows. So you don't have to do that yourself. You don't have to go hit a button that says start editing, stop editing. We, of course, have provide all the functionality to edit enterprise geodatabases, all the versioning, all the version management, multi-user editing is available in ArcGIS Pro. There's some new concepts in ArcGIS Pro, something called group templates. Group templates allow you to combine edit operations into a single step. So if you have a certain type of feature that you always add and it's connected to another kind of feature, you can combine those two things, and then every time you add one, you'll get two or three. It's just kind of a way to make the editing more efficient. At version 1.3, which is the one I said is coming out next week, we support geodatabase topology. We didn't support it in previous versions, so we now have all the ability to go in and edit all your geodatabase topology and manage your topology. So that's going to be in the software now, which is going to make a lot of people happy. We've also, the editing experience, we've tried to make it more CAD-like. And by CAD-like, I mean we provide a lot more kind of feedback as you're editing. We'll pop up and show you distance and direction as you're adding a feature. We give you some interesting shortcuts and ways to do things that are more like a CAD-like editing experience. And we received a lot of feedback, you know, from ArcMap users that wanted this. So we've tried to incorporate that into Pro. So I'm going to let Robert show you some of this stuff. I'm going to pass the mic over to him.
Good morning, everyone. How's everyone doing? Can you hear me in the back? All right, great. So my name is Robert LeClaire, and like David Reeves, I'm an instructor at the Denver Regional Office. I teach the desktop classes, ArcGIS Pro classes, geodatabase classes, and a few other. But one thing I want to do before I start the demo, of course, is talk about education. We do have several courses available for ArcGIS Pro if you are interested. If you come to the training.esri.com site, you'll see that there's a free web course called Getting Started with ArcGIS Pro. This has always been free beyond the ones that Jack was talking about on Monday, but if you want to learn about essential concepts of Pro and terminology, this is a very good course to get started on. And then further, I'm going to come in and do just a quick search on ArcGIS Pro within our training site. And when you go to the web courses, these are the ones that are going to be free. They probably should be free now. And so what you're going to see is a series of courses, terrain analysis, distance analysis, sharing, editing, and more. So these are all available to you for free, starting with the user conference here. And then we do have two instructor-led courses. One is going to be essential workflows, and the other one is going to be Introduction to ArcGIS Pro for the GS Professional. That one's designed for the seasoned ArcMap veteran, which is everyone in this room. So it kind of transitions your workflows from ArcMap into ArcGIS Pro, learn about terminology and the interface and things like that. Lastly, if you haven't been down on the main product floor with all the business partners and also the Esri folks down there, there's a hands-on learning lab downstairs, and there's one lesson for Introduction to Pro. So if you want hands-on experience with Pro, go check that out. Today's the last day for it as well. So if you haven't visited, please do. Fantastic experience. So what I want to do, as David was mentioning, is talk about editing. So we mentioned that coverages are not supported in Pro. I do want to kind of mention one thing, that personal Microsoft Access geodatabases are also not supported in Pro as well. Reason for this, they're 32-bit architecture. Pro is a 64-bit application. The two don't play well with each other. So if you are working with Access geodatabases, you probably want to transition those over to file geodatabases. Really easy to do so. But let's talk about editing here. So I have the editing tab highlighted, and there's a lot of things on here you should be aware of. We break our tools and commands into groups. So you have what's called the clipboard group, and we have cut, copy, paste, where you can copy and paste between layers, much like you can in ArcMap. We have an area called manage edits. Currently, the save button and the discard button are grayed out. Reason for this, we haven't done any edit operations. So the save button, exactly what you think it to be, it saves your edits. The discard button, you have to be very careful about this one. This one will discard all your edits back to the last save point. This is not an undo at all, okay? The undo redo is kind of at the top up here. It's a little like a little mini toolbar. And so you have the undo and redo capability up here, which will do incremental undos and redos of your edits. Discard, everything's deleted back to the last save point, but you do get a screen. Are you sure you want to discard all your edits, yes or no? Say no sometimes. It's not a bad idea. As we mentioned, topology now is supported inside of Pro. We've had map topology supported for at least one or two releases now, where you can do coincident boundary editing. I'm working with Pro 1.3 right now. You don't see geodatabase topology on here because I don't have a topology in my map view. So geodatabase topology is supported now in 1.3. We have something called status, and this is basically giving you feedback of what's editable and what's not editable. So in this case, I don't have any layers not editable. Think Excel. These worksheets are not editable inside of ArcMap and Pro, so an Excel worksheet would show up here saying not editable. Editable with warnings. If your map view is in one projection and your layers in a different projection, that'll give you a warning saying it is editable, but maybe bad things might happen with shape and area and calculations. And then in this case, I've got 12 editable layers. They're all in a geodatabase called utilities. So I know I can edit these layers. We also have something called the error inspector, which alludes back to geodatabase topology. And then over to the right of that, we have snapping. Now, currently, snapping is not turned on. And as Dave was mentioning, we use the color blue to highlight functions turned on or off. In this case, it's not highlighted with blue. When I click on it, now snapping is enabled. We see that blue halo around the button. Further, we have a dropdown. So all your snap agents in Pro are now grouped together. In ArcMap, they were separated. So we have the standard ones you come to love and enjoy, Point, N, Vertex, and Edge. And then via the right click in ArcMap, we've now pulled them all together here, where you've got intersection, midpoint, and tangent. There's also some options for this as well. Now, if you want to go in and create a new point, line, or polygon, what you do is you click on Create. And what this does is opens up the Create Features pane. And this is P-A-N-E, not P-A-I-N, okay? Just so we're clear on that. So in the Create Features pane here, we work within feature templates. Now, feature templates have been around for quite some time, so we have those inside of Pro, and you can see quite a few of them here for different types of layers. What I want to do is go to the water laterals, and here we have all our different construction tools that I can use to digitize in a new line. And if I want to go in and create, say, a new line, notice it's now giving me a snap tip and telling me what I'm snapping to. The water mains layer via an edge. I can go in, click, and set a vertex, and start drawing out my sketch. If I want to set a particular distance, for example, I could right-click, and what you'll see here is the same type of context menu that you had inside of ArcMap, so very familiar editing experience here. If I just want to freehand it, I'll just go and drop it in, and then I'll hit F2 to finish, or double-click, or right-click, and then I have my sketch converted into a feature. Now, I can go further into here, do some edits of the attributes. I open up the attributes pane, type in whatever values I want to here, and then I would click on save or continue my edits. Now, one thing that we've also pulled out that was buried inside of ArcMap is the ability to look at your geometries. So if I click on geometry, here are all the vertex XY coordinates. This was buried functionality inside of ArcMap. You had to go to a toolbar, figure out which one it was, and then you could go and see all the vertexes. Here, it's brought to the front. If I want to go in and modify my existing feature, I can click on Modify, and we break these into categories: alignment, reshape, divide, construct, and topology with the 1.3 Pro. So you can do all types of modification of your points, your lines, and your polygons. Now I'm going to go in here and delete this, and we'll get rid of it. Now, in other tabs, we do have selection. Here you can do interactive selection as well. So let's go in and select this water main. I'll make a box, and notice it doesn't select. Well, there's a reason for this. What I want to do is go over into the contents pane, and you'll notice we have a series of buttons up here. On the left, it's list by drawing order. To the right of that is list by source. You can see it's coming from a geodatabase or a folder for shapefiles. And you also have something called list by selection. Notice in here that the series of checkboxes we have, some are checked on, some are checked off. Well, in this case, water mains is not checked on, so I'll do that here. And now I can go in and select that water main. We have some other ones, list by editing, so I can choose which layers are editable inside of Pro simply by just coming in and checking on or off these boxes. So the templates will know when a layer is editable or not. And then we have list by snapping. For folks that have been working ArcMap for a long time, you now can go back and control which layers you're snapping to simply by checking on or off a box. This kind of went away, I think, in 10.0 ArcMap. We brought it back. In ArcMap, it's called classic snapping. You might remember that. We have list by labeling, which actually brings me to a nice point. Mapplex is the default labeling engine in Pro. In ArcMap, it's a standard labeling engine. So you have to consciously go in, change it over to Mapplex, and work with it. In Pro, it's now the default, which is better because it gives you a lot more options for placing labels. And then we also have list by charting. Now, we have other commands on here as well. We have clear, so I can clear the selected features. I can hit the drop down here for different types of tools. But as David was mentioning, we have the ability to do what's called a group template. So what I'm going to do here is kind of work with this, and I'm going to go back to the Create Features pane. Now, for users of 1.2 Pro, we've moved the template manager. It used to be up on the Edit Core tab here. Now it's in the Create Features pane. And so I click on Manage Templates here. And what I can do is come in and choose which layer I want to create a group template upon. In this case, it's going to be water laterals. So I'll click the New. I'll go to Group Templates. And now I'm going to come in and give it a name. I'll just call it Lateral plus Meter. And what I'm going to do is create a lateral line and put a water meter at the end of that lateral. Give it some type of description. And then I'll go to Tools. So these are the construction tools, and we saw this earlier before, where you can go in and either have all the construction tools, or you can go in and limit that. And in this case of my group template, I'm just going to limit it to two. And I'll just use the line tool and the right angle tool, and that's it. Lastly, I go into builders, and you can see because I'm building this upon the water laterals layer, I want to go in and add another feature template to this, so I simply click on add, and then I choose which template I wish to add. In this case, I want it to be the water meters. Where do you want this meter to be? You have various options here. For this demo, I'm going to say point at the end, and then I'll click on add, and now I've built my group template. So I'm going to click OK, and let's go in and see what I can do for this group template. There it is. There's my limited construction tools. I'll just simply go in, digitize something, and then I'll clear the selection. And now you can see I did two edit operations one time. So very slick way of doing this. Lastly, for editing, I click on the Project tab, go to Options here, and on the editing application part, you have several options here. You have something called Dynamic Constraints. As you draw your sketch, if you check this on, it'll give you the bearing and the distance of that line. You also have the ability for double click for finish, which is on by default. If you have touchscreens, Pro does recognize touchscreens, so you can enable this functionality, show feature symbology. There are a few toolbars in Pro. Most of them have to do with editing. So you can enable the editing toolbar, the magnify toolbar if you wish. And then we have session options. If I check automatically save edits, you can have a time constraint or number of operations, which is pretty nice, I think. You also have these screens, which are confirmation screens. Do you want to save edits when saving the project? You can enable that. Do you wish to confirm the save edits or the discard edits? These are on by default, but you do have the ability to turn them off if you don't want to see them. Deactivate active editing tools. And as David mentioned, versioning is supported. So here are the versioning conflicts, how they're defined, and then how to resolve or review conflicts as well. So with that, I'm going to turn it back over to David, and we'll talk about layouts.
All right. Thanks, Robert. So very comprehensive set of editing tools, right? You can perform all the editing operations you've been known to love and actually even do them better in Pro. So we're going to talk now about mapping and visualization. And Pro is a great tool for doing mapping and visualization. We've done a lot to improve the drawing performance and the drawing quality in ArcGIS Pro. We wrote a whole new drawing engine under the hood when we started ArcGIS Pro. We started with a blank slate and just built the whole product from the ground up. So we control all of that, all of those aspects, and you get things like transparency, native transparency, anti-aliasing, all the things that make it beautiful products. We support multiple layouts in Pro. Of course, it's project-based. This was the number two enhancement request in the ideas site for a number of years. We've got it in Pro. We've unified the symbol model in Pro to be a single symbol model. Now, what does that mean? Well, in ArcMap, we actually use a whole bunch of different symbol models. There are actually five, I think. There's one for regular symbols. What do you call those? One for representations, one for raster, one for charts and graphs, and so on. So we've taken all those and unified them into a single symbol model. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means that the symbols are more consistent throughout. It means we can take those symbols and push them out through the rest of the platform. And, you know, I was just talking to a gentleman yesterday who was running into inconsistencies between proportional symbols and pie charts. And that's because they were using two different symbol models, and one was based on a one value being the lowest value, and the other was based on a zero value. And just these little kind of inconsistencies. So this streamlines and unifies that whole thing. I mentioned transparency support for native transparency. So when you export to a PDF file, if you have a transparent feature or a transparent color, only that color is going to become transparent in the PDF file. It's not going to rasterize all the layers underneath it. It's truly going to use transparency. You can do a lot of 3D cartography. We're seeing all sorts of amazing examples of things people are doing in 3D now with Pro that they couldn't do before. And, of course, we support map series in Pro. We supported that at 1.2. Map series is the equivalent of data-driven pages, for those of you who use that. And we support animation, being able to go in and create these amazing fly-throughs and visualizations of 3D content, or you can even create them for your 2D maps and pan and zoom around your 2D maps, turn on and off layers, go through a period of time and create a video of that and share it on YouTube. It's a great way to share your work. We find everybody uses YouTube, so it's a really nice way to share stuff. So with this, I'm going to turn it back over to Robert, who's going to give you a little demo of mapping.
Okay, thanks, David. All right, so let's talk a little bit about layouts and how they work inside of Pro. Now, currently, if I go over to my project pane over here, you'll notice that we have a layouts group, and currently there's one layout in here called Mapbook. We're going to come back to this in just a minute or two and talk about map series, but what I want to do is create a brand new layout inside of Pro. So I'll go to the Insert Core tab, and I'll have this new layout option, and you'll notice that it gives you a preview of what type of layout you're going to create. We break them into imperial units, inches, and we also have metric for the rest of the world as well. And I'll go and click on letter 8.5 by 11, And what happens here is it creates a new layout for you, and there's nothing there. And this is by design. So before we talk about why, let's go look over the layouts group. Notice now we have two layouts. So Pro does support one to N layouts, many layouts. Now, the reason this particular layout is empty, remember we can have multiple 2D views, multiple scenes, local, global. Pro doesn't know which one you want to bring in. So you have to use bookmarks. Well, that's one way of doing it, but it's wise to use bookmarks to bring in these different map frames. So let's say, for example, I have this area right here, and this is the extent that I wish to see in my layout. What I can do is come into map, and I'll just say, create a new bookmark. We'll call it bookmark one. And then I'll go back out to my layout, and I'm going to insert in a map frame for this bookmark. And then it drops it in for me, and there it is. So inside of this layout, what I want to do is start designing it. And so I'm going to use a series of guides to snap this to margins for the top, the left, the right, and the bottom. You can interactively come in and set a guide if you want, and there it is. I'm going to go and remove this guide and show you a faster way. Let's say that you want to have guides on a half inch all the way around. Well, you can come up here, right-click, and say Add Guides. And then you have the option, horizontal, vertical, both. I'll say both, and I want them to be offset from the edge. And lastly, I'll say 0.5 inches, and click OK. And now I have four offsets, for the top, the left, the right, and the bottom. Now here, at this point, I'm going to start grabbing these handles, having it snap to my margins, my guides rather, and I'm going to create some space here so I can bring in some other elements as well. All right, so we'll put this kind of front and center here. So I'm going to apologize in advance. If there's any cartographers out there, please don't judge me. Okay? I'm just going to go ahead and put in some elements and not make a cartographically pleasing map, so apologize in advance. So what I'm going to do here is come in and insert in a north arrow. And all the north arrows that you've come to love and enjoy in ArcMap are, in fact, in Pro as well. So I'll click on this very first one here. It brings it in. I'll resize it so everyone can see this and drag it down and snap it to the guides at the bottom. Now, as soon as I have this north arrow selected, notice that we have a contextual tab system for the north arrow. You can come in. You can design this. You can change the type of true north or map north. You can set a calibration angle. Further, you can come in, control the format as far as maybe changing the north arrow, the size and position, or the alignment as well. Now, one thing to keep in mind, look over in the contents pane. You have this layout. You can rename it anything you want, but it's starting to kind of add these elements into the contents pane. And you have the ability to lock them, which allows you to prevent accidental movement of these elements just by simply locking them. I'm going to come in and do insert. I'll say insert in a scale bar. We'll grab the first one as well. And I'll bring this one in. We'll kind of zoom in a little bit and take a look at this. And it gives us default units. And sometimes this is not the best units here. You can go and change these if you wish. Notice again, a contextual tab is opened up for scale bar. You can control the design. You can control the behavior when you resize it. You can go and change the division values. So I'll do 0.1, for example. So as I resize this, it will update as needed. Further, you can come in, change the format of this. You can preview it. You can see the text symbol. This is new functionality in Pro, is a preview of the text. Microsoft has been able to do this for a long time. Pro finally does it, so you can see the different preview of the fonts here, which is very nice. Control the size and position and align it to other things as well. So let's go back to layout, zoom to the full page, and we'll do one more. We'll come in, we'll insert in a legend, for example, and I'll just drop that in here as well. We'll put this at the top, and now you can see all the layers that are in the map view are now in the legend. Now there's a couple things in here that are kind of blank, like encumbrances or address points. Well, maybe we don't want those to be in the legend. How can I remove them? Well, very easy. You come in, you can come over to design, and notice the contextual tab opens up for this as well. And I can come in and choose which layers to have available inside of my legend. So let's get rid of encumbrances, let's get rid of address points, and then when I move it up, notice they're removed from the legend. If you want this to be one or two columns, just resize it, and Pro will go in and make it one or two columns based on the resize. And of course, you can format as well. So these are just a couple key things that you can insert, can do with layouts. Certainly, there's going to be dynamic text. There's going to be the ability to insert graphics, your logos, items like that that you do inside of ArcMap. Last thing I want to cover with layouts is map series. So I'm going to go to a map book that I have already. This one is not necessarily a map series. It's just basically the layout that I designed for my map series. So I've got some dynamic text in here. I've got a legend. I've got some scale bars and north arrows. And what I want to do is basically make a map series of a particular area of the city. Now, there's a couple ways you can do this. I'm going to go and zoom to this polygon feature class that is basically a series of squares. In ArcMap, what you would do is run a geoprocessing tool called Grid Index Features to create these squares. You could do that in Pro, or you could use any layer you want to be part of your map series. It's up to you and how you wish to do this. I'm going to use this set of polygons that I created previously to create my map series upon. So in order to create a map series, it's very easy. You come out to your layout here. You'll notice on the page setup, what we have is map series with a Ghostbuster sign on saying it doesn't exist yet. And so I'll click on my dropdown, and I'll say, let's go in and enable it. So we'll enable the map series. You have the options of what map frame it's going to be based upon, if it's based upon a layer here. And then I'm going to accept the default settings here and click OK. When I do that, now my map book is created. Am I using the map series? And you can see I've got A1. It lists out the different grids that I could want to use. So I could click on A4, and it'll switch over to A4. I can go look at C2, and switches over to C2. Or I can come in and just incrementally go through each map. Lastly, when you start talking about layouts, you can also come in and share. You can export your map series out to a PDF. I had a question yesterday, does Pro support GeoPDFs? Yes, just do the export map georeference information. You also have a lot of the other raster formats here as well. You can do traditional printing methods. You can create layout templates, and then you can also package these as well. So with that, I'm going to switch it back over to David, and you're back on.
All right. Thanks, Robert. Got to find a place to put this. There we go. All right. So did any of you, how many of you guys use data-driven pages? I'm just curious. Holy cow. Did any of you ever use the DS Mapbook developer sample? A few of you. Okay. Do you remember the contents pane in there and how you got a list of all the pages? Yeah, we added that into Pro. We never got that quite added to ArcMap. I think it's a really nice enhancement. All right. Other things you can do with Pro. Of course, you can share. And Robert showed exporting, sharing via paper map. You can print and do things like that. You can also share web maps and web layers directly from Pro to either ArcGIS Online or Portal. So what does that mean? That means if you've published maps before from ArcMap, you end up publishing a service. You might have to publish two or three of those, and then you have to go into ArcGIS Online or Portal and assemble those together and author your pop-ups and build your web map in ArcGIS Online. Well, Pro, you can do all of that. You've already got your layers, and now you can author things like pop-ups, and all of that can be done in Pro, and then you just publish a web map directly. You don't have to go through and do the second and third step in ArcGIS Online or Portal. So it's a great tool for sharing, and it's another way we've tried to integrate in with the rest of the platform. You can, of course, share map and layer packages. You can also share project packages, so you can group everything in your project together and share it with someone else, and that's actually a great way to share all of your work. We use it constantly at Esri. You can share map and layout files. Robert mentioned templates, layout templates. we use something called a PageX file, and that's the equivalent of, do you have any of you guys remember MXTs? And we kind of just got away with changing those back to MXDs and only having MXDs for those. Anyway, layout files you can use as a template. So when you start a new map layout, you can browse to a layout template and use that. We share something called tasks, and we didn't really get to them in this session, but tasks are a new concept in ArcGIS Pro that allows you to define a step-by-step workflow that you can then package up as an XML file, basically, and share it with others so that they can follow the exact same workflow. And you can, of course, share your styles, your symbology. You can take your styles and load them up into ArcGIS Online now and then share them throughout your organization that way. So I'm going to get into some common questions. These are things we get asked all the time. The first one we always get asked is, how do I get started? I know a lot of you haven't even started playing with Pro yet. And so this becomes a very common thing to do. Now, of course, there's all those training classes Robert showed you. There's one that's intro to ArcGIS Pro web course. It's free. It's about 3 hours long. It gives you downloads of exercises and data. You can go in and spend a few hours just learning it that way. And that was, again, designed with the ArcMap user in mind. And then there's, of course, the training classes you can take. There's a two-day class, and the new class is 3 days, right? Yeah, so there's another three-day class that we've added this year. There are a lot of classes available. When you go do a search for Pro, I think you come up with about 17 in the training site. So the other way to get, the other thing just to mention, what most people I recommend doing, how they get started with Pro, is take one of your maps, your MXDs. Here I'm in ArcMap, and I've got a fairly complicated map here. This is kind of the equivalent of a USGS topographic map. And it's got advanced symbology in it. It's got labeling, contours, all of the kinds of things you would expect in a more complicated map. And you just import that into Pro. And it's going to bring your map over. Let me go into Pro. And I'm going to start from the Insert tab. And when you open Pro, this is what you get. First time. It's just a blank screen. It can get kind of intimidating. So don't let that intimidate you. First thing you want to do is go to Import Map and find one of your MXDs that you know and love, select it, and then just import it in. And it's going to bring over all your symbology. It's going to bring over anything in your toolboxes. It's going to bring over your bookmarks. If you've got a model in there, it'll bring the model in. And it's going to give you a good starting point. And this makes it a lot less intimidating. And all that symbology, everything you've designed, is going to be there. And it's going to look exactly the same. All my graphics have come in, my text. All my symbology is going to look the same. My labeling is going to be the same. It's just kind of refreshing my labels. One thing you'll notice is I can always pan and zoom, so it's labeling this whole map right now, which is doing a lot. And as it's doing that, I can still interact with everything. It's because of this multi-threaded nature of it. The labeling's happening on one thread, the drawing's happening on another thread, interacting with the menus is happening on another thread. So it means it's always responsive, even when it's doing labeling and things like that. So go out, import some maps, get started. All right, next question, most common question. How is ArcGIS Pro licensed? And this is a result of when we first introduced Pro, we introduced a new licensing model. We introduced the ability to license it using a named user account in either ArcGIS Online or Portal. What that gives you is the ability to go into any machine anywhere in the anywhere you have connection to your online account and log in and start using Pro. So this is the whole idea of using GIS anytime, anywhere, on any device that we talk about. There's a lot of great advantages to that. So that's the named user licensing. What we found was a lot of people still wanted us to
license it through concurrent use and single use. So at 1.2 that we released earlier this year, we brought in concurrent use and single use licensing for all of you. So you now have a very flexible way to license this. License it any way you want. We didn't want licensing to be a barrier to you guys being able to start using Pro. So when you install Pro and start it up, it's by default going to look for a named user license, but you can change that. You can convert it and use a concurrent use or a single use license. You can license it any way you want. What that means is, so when you go into, there's a licensing pane or a licensing menu in Pro, and you can pick which way you want to license it. But what it means is you need a 10.4 license manager to be able to do this. Now, I know a lot of you are still on 10.3, earlier versions of ArcMap. You can still install and upgrade your 10.3 license manager to a 10.4 license manager and keep running ArcMap 10.3. The license manager will work backwards that way. But you need a 10.4 license manager, and you need an updated license file that has your Pro enablements in it. So you get this from MyESRI. You go to your MyESRI account. If you don't do that, your administrator should know how to do that. You'll get an updated license file, and you can start using the other license models. And of course, single-use licenses are locked to a single machine. Concurrent use, you know, works with a license manager. It's the same license manager you have for ArcMap. All right. Next question I'm getting a lot. What's coming in 1.3, or what's new in 1.3? And there's a lot of new functionality that's coming up in 1.3. We talked about geodatabase topology. That's a big one for a lot of you. Things like KML, being able to author vector tiles, being able to view vector tiles. There's additional animation enhancements. We're always doing more work with the SDK. And there's a lot of this image classification tools and on. There's a lot of new functionality coming out in 1.3. So look for that coming soon. All right, what extensions are available with ArcGIS Pro? So the majority of the extensions that you're using in ArcMap are available in ArcGIS Pro. So Spatial Analyst, 3D Analyst, Network Analyst, Geostats, you can read through them here. Most of these are identical to the ones you've been using in ArcMap. 3D Analyst is one that changes quite a bit, though. So in ArcGIS Pro, you can view in 3D, you can edit in 3D, you can do all sorts of, you know, these visualizations in 3D in both globe views and scene, or globe and local views, all of that without a 3D analyst license. So what you need 3D analyst for in Pro is all the geoprocessing, the actual analysis. So we've made it a real 3D analysis extension. In ArcMap, you need 3D analyst for ArcScene and ArcGlobe. So, you know, we get rid of that dependency on 3D analyst for viewing and working with 3D in a lot of ways. All right, can I virtualize ArcGIS Pro? How many of you guys work with ArcMap virtualized, either through Citrix or VMware of some kind? Yes, so Pro virtualizes very well. It has some higher system requirements, which you need to kind of be aware of. And it has some, you know, some more advanced GPU requirements and things like that. But it does virtualize very well. It means, you know, we may need to upgrade some of the servers to support the same level you're getting with ArcMap. But we've been actually using virtualized machines at the conference here down in the desktop island. All of the machines down there running in that island, we've been running off of one server that's then feeding all those machines. And if you get a chance, I know the showcase closes at about 1:30 today, but if you want to go see how that performs, you can go down and look at it. Other place we've been showing it is that big NVIDIA wall that we had in the sale area over at the map gallery. I don't know if any of you guys saw that. It's running 12 instances of ArcGIS Pro on one server, and you can see the kind of performance you get. All right, the next question, how can I customize ArcGIS Pro? And we kind of talk about this in a series of increasing depths of how much you want to customize. How many of you guys have written a lot of customizations in ArcMap using ArcObjects?
Only a handful. Okay. One of the things we recommend doing when you start, you know, with Pro is rather than just kind of wholesale saying I need to rewrite all those applications, start by just using Pro. Start by going in and seeing how it works. We've tried to take into account the things people were customizing ArcMap for and build a lot of that into Pro. And we've got different ways of kind of, you know, handling things so that you might not necessarily need to customize it now. And that would be great, right? No more if you didn't have to do all that extra work. The other thing you can do in Pro right off the bat is just start moving buttons around. There's a whole customize menu in the backstage that lets you take buttons and move them from toolbar to toolbar or ribbon to ribbon. You can turn things on and off. And so you can go in and customize it that way if you want, if you want to remove some of the buttons, so things you never use. We've tried to do our best to, you know, make it very usable the way it is. And I'd recommend you just kind of go in and use it and see what it's like for you. Second step we would recommend doing is customizing, is configuring it. So, and I'll talk about tasks a little bit again. So tasks are a way to set up step-by-step workflows, and there's actually a little record button, just like you would a macro in Excel or something. And so you can actually go in and you know, say you repeat the same edit operations over and over again. You can hit a record button, record all your steps. It'll build a little set of steps for you that then you can package up and share with everyone else, and then they can follow the directions and do the same workflow. And it's a way to kind of package those kinds of repeated processes up. A lot of people have been really happy with how this works. It saves them a lot of rewriting tools and things because they can just package it up in a task. All right, next, automate. Use Python. We've exposed, you know, the same Python libraries that you have in ArcMap are available in Pro. We've changed arcpy.mapping to arcpy.mp. That's just one change we've made. But the functionality in there is all the same. So you can automate redundant tasks through Python scripts, and we recommend looking at that next. And finally, if you really need to extend Pro, if you really need to build an add-on to it, we have an add-in model and a new .NET SDK, which gives you access to a lot of the functionality in Pro. You can customize all the menus and interfaces and things like that. It is not ArcObjects. It is a brand new managed .NET SDK. It's a much nicer programming environment. It's not Calm. Most people who have picked it up and started using it just love it. So for developers out there, we recommend looking at the new .NET API. But look at the other options first. You may find you can do a lot of what you need without having to go in and customize it. All right, next question. What is the plan for ArcMap? Well, ArcMap continues. Of course, it continues. We've got a 10.5 release planned the end of this year. It's going to come out with ArcGIS 10.5. We continue to work on ArcMap. We continue to do updates. We do bug fixes. We add some new functionality here and there. But we've really slowed down working on ArcMap. It's very limited. And that's because it's a 32-bit application. It's in a state where we're not planning on moving it to 64-bit. We've got a new application for that. That's ArcGIS Pro. So ArcGIS Pro is the future. I mean, but ArcMap will be around a long time. So we're currently working on closing gaps between the two. So there's some things that ArcGIS Pro doesn't do yet that ArcMap does. And we're working very hard to kind of close some of those gaps for you guys. At the same time right now, so you can run ArcMap and ArcGIS Pro side by side. You can install them on the same machine. You can work with them together. You can import your MXDs, your SXDs, your globes into Pro and start working with them. One thing to note is they don't go backward. So when you import a map into Pro, you're not going to be able to export an MXD out of Pro. It doesn't work that way. We've added so much new functionality, and there are so many changes in Pro that
we would lose so much trying to go back to ArcMap that it just doesn't work. So ArcMap is here. It's around. We support, after every release of ArcMap, we support it for at least 6 years, right? That's our support cycle. So if we release a 10.5 at the end of the year, how long is that going to be supported? So that'll be supported till 2023. And we have no plans to, you know, discontinue it at this point. So yeah, it'll be around a long, long time. Just really quickly, the roadmap for this year. Again, we've got Pro 1.3 coming out next week. Pro 1.4 is going to be out at the end of the year. A lot of the functionality we've been working on this year, KML, vector tiles, some of the new things that are going to be coming in 1.4, one of the key ones, grids and graticules. Jack mentioned this in the plenary. Utility network beta is coming out, and editing annotation. So, all right. We kind of ran over. We're getting longer-winded every time we do this, aren't we? Let's take just a couple of questions. I'm over time. If you guys need to leave, thank you for coming. And let me take just two questions, and then I'll have, if you guys have some more questions, you can come up while we're tearing down. Yes, over here. Show the previous slide the timeline. Well, that was an easy question. Okay, let's. Anybody with a question? Oh, over here. Yeah, you first.
So I was wondering if extensions like XTools or things like that would be available. How are those available in
ArcMap? So will extensions like you mentioned, like XTools? Will they be available in Pro? So XTools are written by a business partner of ours. It is up to them if they want to try to build a version for Pro. I don't know if they have plans to. Pro changes quite a bit. So some of the functionality you might get in XTools is probably already in Pro. But there are other extensions as well, the production mapping tools and things like that. They're working on building those extensions for Pro. So a lot of them and a lot of the partners I know have plans to do that. It just depends. I don't know. Okay, so one of the things I like to do is calculate how many acres or how. That's one of the things XTools does. Is there a replacement? I don't know if there's a tool that. There probably is, actually. Okay. There is a tool for that, actually. Add geometry attribute. But, yeah, it's right here. And could I tell you how? Oh, okay. So, well, let me just start. Okay, he's asking about what my laptop's set up like, so how much memory it's got and things like that, just to compare. Let me start with just, you know, the system requirements for Pro are higher than they are for ArcMap. I think we minimum 8 gigs of RAM. We recommend 16 gigs of RAM. We also recommend getting, you know, current graphics cards. So my machine right now is configured with 16 gigs of RAM. It has one of the nicest graphic cards you can get. It's an NVIDIA graphics card. Okay, we'll do one more. Can you add your own tools to the galleries or favorites? Yes, if you create a script tool, yep, you can add them to the gallery.